please take your Bibles again and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Steve, I wonder if you could just kill that monitor there so I don't have to hear myself. No, don't think about that. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 13. Children in my church have been learning a song this summer, and I want to read you part of the lyrics to that song. It goes like this. Seasons change and time goes past so fast. Everything my eyes can see won't last. But you will not be shaken. You're our rock in heaven. Forever you remain unchanged, and though all else will fade, you will be the same. You go on and on and on and on and on. The polar ice caps are melting. Mountains shift. Niagara Falls is creeping backwards at 3 inches a year. Our Earth is revolving at 50 meters a second around its own axis. 30 kilometers a second around the sun. The Milky Way, in which we are a part of, is rotating at 300 kilometers an hour. Boundaries are redrawn. Wars stop and wars start. Plants grow, then plants die. Leaves fall, fruit ripens, and then it rots. My hair doesn't grow as thick on top as it used to. I seem to be hearing that. Great Christians that we depended on by God's grace to lead us forward have gone the way of the grave. Carrie is here again. Summer's over. School's about to start. It is nothing but change, change, change. And yet, I think there is this bent in us humans to try and keep everything the same. Plastic surgery. Liposuction. I want to look 30 years old for the rest of my life. Some of us bristle when the order of service on a Sunday morning is altered to the slightest degree. Some of us even cherish the same old sins that we've loved for 20, 30, 40 years. We like things the same. Now I know there's some of you out there are going, well, that's not me. I don't like things the same. I like things different all the time. But I would suggest that's the same thing. That's being the same. You want things to be in the same way, changing all the time. That's what you need. If it's not changing, then there's something wrong with that. Everybody wants everything to be the same, whatever their same is. It's in our nature, I think, and this is pure speculation on my part, to long for everything just to stay the same. But God has put us in a world where nothing stays the same, except for Him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, in this verse, the writer to the Hebrews gives a bold and undeniable proclamation of the immutable nature of Jesus Christ. He is the unchanging Christ. And he takes this great truth and thrusts it into a world of transformation, modification, and mutation. And here comes this great and glorious truth that Jesus Christ is our rock. He is steadfast. He is immovable. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the same. But He's not the same in a boring kind of way. You say, yeah, I have some friends. They never change. Well, I wish they would change. But when you're perfect, any change is a downgrade, isn't it? So for Christ to remain the same all the time is wonderful. He is the same perfect being that He has always been and always will be. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is Himself. He is, if you like, the same. But But right away, when you hear those words, and we often say those things, but if we stop and we think about them, it ought to set off some lights on our mental dashboard, and we go, but wait a second. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, why was he born? And why was he a baby? Why did he grow? Why did he become a man? Why did he die? Why was he buried? What about the resurrection? What about the ascension? If you ask me, those are change kind of things, aren't they? Jesus Christ is the same, you say? What about all of those things? Well, what the writer to the Hebrews is telling us is that Jesus is the same in certain ways. Don't think for a moment that he is so dull to think that Christ is the same in every way. Look for a moment just to refresh your mind in the context of Hebrews. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. It was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. The Lord Jesus had to become perfect through suffering. Verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Over to chapter 5 and verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Chapter 7 and verse 27. Read of Christ again. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all time, when he offered up himself. And so clearly, the writer to the Hebrews understands that there is change when it comes to Jesus Christ. There is change in his position. He was once in heaven. He came to earth. He returned to heaven. There is change in his circumstances. There are changes in his occupation, in what he does. But the whole letter to the Hebrews is written with one purpose in mind. And it is this purpose, that you Hebrew Christians might stay true to the unchanging God that is yours. And so as the writer to the Hebrews draws near to the end of his letter, he makes this incredible statement, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has already told these Christians, I'm writing to you the elementary things, or your Bible may translate it, the basic things, chapter 5 and verse 12. I'm giving you foundational truth, he says. And it is essential you know these basic teachings of the gospel. And when he comes to chapter 13, our author is saying this, trust in God, the unchanging God, not in these things. Trust in God, not in your stuff. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Don't trust in your things. Be hospitable. Be willing to give it all away because life's not in your things. And then in verse 4, trust in God, not in your flesh. Don't give yourself over to sexual immorality thinking that there is life there because there's not. And then in verses 5 and 6, trust in God, the unchanging God, not in your money, because money comes and money goes, doesn't it? And then in chapter 13, verse 7, all the way down, I think, to verse 19, the writer is saying, trust in God, not in new and shifting doctrines. And the basis of that statement is chapter 13 and verse 8. It acts like the fulcrum point where everything hangs from it. Everything is directed to it. But the test, all that we lay up against it, is this statement, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How can I know if a doctrine is true? Someone knocks on my door. They say this and that about God, about the Bible. How can I know it is true? I can know it is true by asking myself this question. Is it in line with Jesus Christ, my standard, my exemplar, the one against whom I test all things? Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Charles Spurgeon preached on this passage three times in his ministry. The second time and the third time, he said, "I make no apology for preaching on this text again because it is so rich, and good texts deserve to be preached more than once." In one of those sermons, this is what he said: "There is nothing new in theology but that which is false." See why he says it? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People come along and they tell us to believe new things about justification. People come along and they tell us, oh, it's the emerging church. We need to embrace the emerging church. Someone comes along and says, oh, it's open theism. We need an unpredictable God who's dependent upon us and our decisions. Someone else comes along and says, we've got to be sensitive to these kind of people and program ourselves in this way. Other people come along and they say, forget all the preaching and just get all people in different programs for their age groups. That's what's going to cure the church. To which we respond, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the test by which we hold all things. And that begs this question: in what ways, then, is Jesus unchanging? How is it that Christ remains the same? If He is going to be our most accurate tool, if He is like our MRI, that we can take every doctrine that blows in the door and out the door, and we can hold it under our magnetic resonance imaging machine, and we can get an idea of what it is. If Christ is that machine, if we can speak in Him in those terms, if He's the one by which we examine all things, how is it then that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I will suggest to you two ways. Number one, Jesus Christ is unchanging in His name. Now, you understand that when the Lord names someone, it's never by accident. My name was by accident. Apparently, my name means little one. It's true. Accident. Okay. Sovereign accident. The Lord Jesus was named before He was conceived. His name was given to Mary before His conception. It was given to Joseph independently from Mary before His birth. Joseph gave Him that name at His birth. Joseph gave Him that name again at His circumcision. It was the name that hung over His cross on that sign which Pilate inscribed and nailed to the cross over His head. It's the name that He uses of Himself, our Lord does, in Revelation 22:16. When He speaks of Himself and of His coming return. And that name is Jesus. Forrest Gump's mother used to say, "Stupid is as stupid does." I wonder if she got that from Abigail. You remember Nabal, the fool. His name meant fool. Poor guy. Decides he's going to mess with King David. And David's about to lop off his head. And Abigail intercedes and she says to David, "As is His name, so is He." His name is fool. He is a fool. When it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, as is His name, so is He. His name is Jesus. Yeshua. Savior. And we can rejoice that His name is Jesus. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13 and verse 8. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Redeemer who has been put forward as a propitiation for our sins before God. The one who justifies Moses and David. The one who justifies Peter and Andrew. The one who justifies Luther and Calvin. The one who justifies you and me if we are found in Christ. He is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus, and that name means Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And you remember from your Sunday school lessons, that name, that title, Christ, means anointed one. Whom in our Bibles are anointed? Well, you could go all the way back to the first priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron is anointed. He's a priest. And there is David, the king. He's an example of a king who is anointed. There's Elisha, the prophet. He too is anointed. prophet, priest, and king remind you of anyone in particular? Of course it does our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why He Himself is our prophet, priest, and king. He's our prophet. He proclaims the will of God. He's our priest. He makes the way to God. He's our king. He's ruling over the world of God. This is who Jesus Christ is. And that is why He is called our Lord and our Master and our Teacher and Messiah, Son of the Living God. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the sovereign Savior for all time. There are no other ways to heaven. There is no other gospel to believe. There will be no other Savior to come along. There is no other Lord to obey. There is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. Now, that being true, let me ask you this question. If Jesus Christ is the Savior, what is the state of your relations with Him? And let's begin at the basics. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Take your mind back a year ago when you were here at Terry Conference, maybe even some of you young people. You talked with friends and you sat under the ministry of God's Word, and there was in you a sense of awakening to the things of God, and you sensed in your own heart that God was speaking to you, calling upon you to repent and believe. And things were stirring in you, and you had experiences, and you were feeling things, and you were thinking things, and you were fresh in your thoughts about God. But now, look, a whole year has gone by, and where are you? You're exactly where you were a year ago. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the one who's changed. He is just as much a Savior as He was one year ago. He'll be just as much a Savior until the day in which He returns, but He is a Savior. What is the state of your relationship with Him? Do you know Jesus Christ? I don't mean do you know about Him. I mean do you know Him? Do you love Him? Some of you say, well, I've heard all about Jesus Christ, but I don't really understand why I need Christ. I have a happy life. Okay, maybe when I die I need Jesus, but why do I need Him now? I'll tell you why you need Him now, because you're a lawbreaker. You're guilty in the eyes of God. Don't believe me? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever told one lie? Just one. The moment you spoke that lie, no matter how small it was, you became guilty of the whole law of God. Under the judgment of God. Deserving the just penalty for your sin. You say, well, yes, but I've been a very good person besides that one lie. I've tried very hard to live a good life. I try very hard to obey my mother and father. I try very hard to do good things. I go to church every Sunday and I try to listen and I try to not speak with bad words. No, you see, your problem is not what you're doing now. Your problem is that one lie, that one little lie, or that one sin, that one immoral thought, that one thing that you did, that one law of God which you broke. That's your problem. And even if it was just one, you are guilty just because of that one. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He saves sinners like you. So that when you stand before the judgment seat of God, and don't fool yourself and think that you'll get there that day and say to God, well, I tried to be a good person. Imagine for a moment that I stole all your money and everybody saw me do it and there was video surveillance and everyone saw it take place and now I'm brought before the judge and the judge says, well, we have all this evidence, and I say, well, yes, I plead guilty, but Your Honor, I haven't stolen any other money since then. And I have tried really hard to not even think about stealing money since the time I stole all of that guy's money. And the judge looks down at you and he says, oh, well, if you've tried really hard, you are free to go. In a human court, you would all say the same thing. Injustice! Justice has not been served. Do you think that God's standard of justice is any less? It is exact. It is superior in every degree because he knows the very thoughts and the intentions of your heart. And so you stand guilty before this God. But there is great hope. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And this Christ is saving sinners like you, just as he saved a sinner like me, not because of what I did, not because of what you will do, but because we've ventured all of our hope and all of our faith upon him and on his ability to save. We look to him and say, you're the only Savior. And we acknowledge before him that you're the only one who can take a sinful, guilty person like me and make me right with God. Don't dilly-dally with God. Don't think that because you're young, you have a few years to play and to party before. No, your life may be over in a vapor. It may be over in an instant. And I'm standing here with the authority of heaven behind me, and I'm warning you, and I'm calling you, and I'm pleading with you, saying, turn to Christ who is the same, yesterday, today, forever, because this Savior is inviting every sinner to come, and every sinner who comes will find life. I've thought hard, and I can't think of one good reason why you ought to delay. What of you who are Christians? Are you growing? What about you? Go back a year ago to your time at the Cary Conference, your sweet fellowship around the campfires, staying up too late, getting up too early, wondering how can a human be this filthy? Loving every minute of it. Going home refreshed, re-energized, rejuiced, thinking I'm going to live for Christ like I've never lived for Christ before. Maybe it happens for a couple of weeks and then you're back into your old patterns and into your old ways. Is your life marked by a joyful obedience to the Lord Jesus and His commands? Do you treasure Christ above everything else in your world, more than your home, more than your car, more than your clothes, more than your bank account, more than your business, more than anything else? You love Jesus more than all of it put together? Let me take you back for a moment to that time when the Lord called you. Spirit of God caused you to be born again to a living hope, and your first breath was crying out to Christ, and Christ was glorious in your sight, and you fell before Him in worship and adoration. I can't believe that God has loved me so much. He sent His own Son for me, and you were rejoicing, you were bouncing off the walls, you were telling everybody about Christ. He was perfect to you. He was beautiful to you. He was wonderful to you. He was glorious to you. Has He changed? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Are you following Him? Look at verse 7 of our text in Hebrews 13. The author says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, same yesterday and today and forever. There is a flow of thought there. You see it? Sheep follow one shepherd. Shepherd calls, we hear his voice, we follow him. But the chief shepherd has appointed under shepherds, hasn't he? And we follow them too as they follow Christ. Like the Apostle Paul could say, follow me as I follow Christ. Following your shepherd. The unchanging Christ follows a very narrow path. Those who follow Him must stay on that path. And it is essential that you know your Word of God, this Bible, because you need to be sure that your shepherds are staying on the path. Sometimes when you're sheep at the end of the flock, you can't really see the shepherd. There's too many sheep in between, so you follow the other sheep. Hopefully they're not like the pigs of Gerasa tumbling off the cliff into their death. But that is where you will go if you are led astray by the shifting doctrines and various teachings in our world today. So you must ensure that you're a man of the book. You must ensure that you're a woman of the book. You must ensure that you're a child of the book. Children, do you read your Bible? You can do that. I bet every single kid here could read through the Bible in 1 year. And I think you could do it the next year, too. And you would begin to learn the book. You may not be able to use all the fancy terms that guys like me sometimes use when they get up here and they say, ism that, and all of that, and blah, blah, blah. This sounds like garbunzo to you. You don't know what it is. But when he starts to talk about that one thing, well, that doesn't sound really right. Because your mind has been immersed in the truth. And the truth is the reflection of Jesus Christ, who can say, I am the way, the life, and the truth. I am the truth. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our only hope in this world is to know Christ and to follow Him. And then when someone comes along and they add a little bit to justification here, or they take a little bit away from grace over here, we imitate the faith of those who have gone before us, and we follow Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when these people come and they say, oh, it's all about emergence, it's all about the emergent church, that there's more than one way to God. Don't be so strict. Don't be so narrow. Open your mind. There's many ways to God. Look at all religions with an open mind. We say, no, Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When He walked on the earth, He was quite exclusive, wasn't He? I'll stick with Him. When the open theist comes along and they sneak into our church and they begin to teach and they begin to ask questions and say, you know, I'm not so sure that God really knows everything about the future, but I think He's in a divine dance with us, responding to our decisions and walking with us through the world, not sure what is ahead for us. We say, wait a second. Not the God of my Bible. Jesus Christ knew everything He was going to do when He walked on this earth. He came to give up His life a ransom for men. Don't tell me He didn't. Don't tell me He doesn't. Pragmatic people come into our church and they say, get rid of the preaching and fill your church up with programs. We say, no, we don't need that. We're following Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same in His name. And you know that when God names someone, as I have said, it is a reflection of all that they are. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Prophet, the Priest, the King, the Sovereign Savior, whatever description you want to give to Him, it is summed up in those terms. He is Jesus Christ. That's who is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But I want you to notice, secondly, Jesus is also the same in His divine person. He is always the same in His divine person. He is always the same in Himself. Who He is in and of Himself. It is Christ of whom the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, in Him all things hold together. In who? In Christ. Everything holds together. Children, do you know what a molecule is? Learned about molecules in school. Everything is made up of molecules. They're really tiny. Really, really tiny. Look down at your finger for a second. Find your smallest finger. Look down at that finger and the end of your finger. There's like billions of molecules in the end of your finger. And you know who's directing all of those molecules? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who at the beginning of creation made trees. Jesus Christ came to earth. And out of those trees which He made and which He is holding together, there was made a manger. And so in a mystery that we cannot comprehend, our Lord Jesus comes to earth and as an infant, in His divine person, is holding together the molecular structure of the manger that holds Him. And as a boy, working alongside His carpenter father, we assume as He brings wood in for His father, perhaps. It's Christ Himself who's holding together the molecular structure of those planks. And it was Jesus Christ holding together the molecular structure of those cross beams of His own cross which He died upon. In Him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is the same. There is never a time He did not exist. There is not a single moment He stopped being omnipotent. Not once has He swerved from His sovereign plan. He is unchangeably perfect. He is unchangeably good. He is unchangeably right. He is unchangeably holy. He is unchangeably all-knowing. He is unchangeably powerful. He is unchangeably love. He is unchangeably omnipresent. Hence, every doctrine, every teaching can be tested against Christ, who is the truth. And that which strays from Christ strays from the truth. He is the same forever in His name. He is the same forever in His divine perfections. Therefore, we do not need new methods of worship. We do not need new messages to the lost. We do not need new means of salvation. We do not need new men to treat as celebrities. What we need is a return to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am not speaking just to those of you who like praise choruses and less formal attire at your worship services. I am speaking to you who have replaced Jesus Christ with anything, whether that is innovation or tradition. If anything has taken the place of Christ, hear the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has given you 1 week to meet with Him. The week of Kerikon. Well, you've got more weeks after that, Lord willing. But you've set aside this week. You've put aside a week to devote to God. What will you make of it? You can use every sermon, every song, every campfire, every conversation to draw closer to Jesus Christ, who is the same. 1 week of rest, or 1 week to be closer to Jesus. And then it's back to life. Life with all of its trials, and all of its surprises, and all of its difficulties. But what a glory to God if you leave this place reveling and delighting in Jesus Christ like you have not delighted in Him ever. So that when you leave this place and maybe you go back to your life, which is not so pleasant as a little campground with a bunch of nice Christians running around it, maybe your life isn't anything like that. Maybe you go home to job loss and to bankruptcy and to looming foreclosure on your home. You can cling to this truth. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Or you go back to sickness and to disease and to aging. You can go back with this truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or to wars and earthquakes and tsunamis, or divorce or cancer or treachery. You go back and you cling to the truth. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you go back to loneliness and helplessness and defeat or poverty or wealth or to just getting by, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You go back and there are diverse teachings, the doctrines of demons, people coming in, spreading falsehood against you. You go back and there's imprisonment. There's genetic defects to deal with. There's personal attacks against you. You go back and you cling to the rock who is Christ. And you say, Jesus Christ, my Savior, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only sure thing in the universe is our Lord Jesus. So how firm is your grasp? The hymn writer says this: at His voice, creation sprang at once to sight. All the angel faces, all the hosts of light, thrones and dominations, stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in their great array. Name Him, brothers, name Him with love strong as death, but with awe and wonder and with bated breath. He is God the Savior. He is Christ the Lord, ever to be worshipped, trusted, and adored. In your hearts, enthrone Him. There let Him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. Brothers, this Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory, with his angel train. For all the wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now. Brothers and sisters, take the week and find Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. Lord Jesus, you are the only Savior the world will ever know. Out of millions who have never heard your name, why have you chosen us? Why have you blessed us? We don't know how we love you. We love you for faithful, unchanging ways. You never stray from us. We often stray from you. We pray, O Lord, that you would use this week. Draw every single soul close, intimate to you. Our Lord Jesus, we claim this great hope and this great promise. You are just as powerful as you were in the days of the apostles. You are just as able to save as you were in the days of great revival. You are unchanging in these ways. So we pray, O Lord, let us see something of your great glory, something of your great saving work, more and more of your. May this week, out of all the weeks past, be a week where we meet with Jesus Christ. May our delight in you increase 100-fold to the glory of your great name. We ask it in the unchanging name of our Savior.